Good afternoon. Welcome to Line 1, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Thad Woodard. Medicare is an insurance program administered by the United States government. It provides health insurance coverage to people who are age 65 and over and others who meet special criteria. The first beneficiary was President Harry Truman in 1965. Our phone numbers are 550-8422 in Anchorage. Our outside number, toll-free, 1-800-478-8255. Our email address is line1@aprn.org. Coming up next hour, we'll answer your questions and concerns about Medicare on Line 1, Your Health Connection.
Today's program is underwritten in part by The Lake Otis Pharmacy, prescriptions, support hose, medical equipment, and a full selection of satellites in Alaska. The Lake Otis Pharmacy on Lake Otis, one block north of Tudor, with the wheelchair on the sign. Providence, Alaska combines state-of-the-art technology with a team of skilled and experienced physicians and nurses. With locations in Anchorage, Wasilla, Seward, Valdez, and Kodiak, Providence offers needed medical care close to home. For more information, log on to providence.org/Alaska. This message is sponsored by Providence, Alaska Medical Center.
Welcome to Line 1, Alaska. Line 1, Your Health Connection. I'm sorry. I'm Dr. Thad Woodard. Today we're discussing Medicare. Our phone numbers are familiar to you if you listen to APRN's Talk of Alaska. In Anchorage, our number is 550-8422. Our toll-free number, 1-800-478-8255. And you can email us at line1, spell it out, all one word, L-I-N-E-O-N-E, at aprn.org. My guests today are Judith Bendersky. She's head of the Alaska's Medicare Information Office, and Robin Schmidt, public affairs specialist with Social Security Administration for the state of Alaska. Before we get started, I just want to mention that next week's guest will be Dr. David Dodick of the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona, and our topics will be migraine and chronic daily headaches. Dr. Dodick is a neurologist with the Mayo Clinic and an expert in this area. Welcome to both of you. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about Medicare, a little bit of her purpose, a little bit of history, and a brief overview so we can get started.
Well, Medicare is health insurance, and it is available to people over 65 and older, in particular designed for people who have worked and paid into Social Security. And it's a pretty comprehensive insurance that covers hospital, outpatient, medical needs, prescriptions. It covers a lot, and it was designed because as the costs of healthcare rose in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, the U.S. government decided to try to help folks out with access.
You don't have to be over 65. There's some exceptions when I was reading into this a little bit, so Robin, why don't we ask you about some of those? Because as I recall, Social Security came into that issue of who might not have to be 65.
Right, that's correct. Most people think that you have to be 65 or older to get Medicare. However, if you've been on Social Security disability benefits for 2 years or more, you can become eligible for Medicare coverage if you choose to keep that Medicare coverage. There's also individuals that are called disabled adult children. These are children that were disabled before the age of 22. They've been getting disability benefits under their parents' Social Security record, and they also can be eligible for Medicare coverage once they've been on disability for 2 years. In addition, there are individuals who are 65 or older. However, they've not worked and paid enough quarters to be eligible for hospital insurance. However, they could be eligible for outpatient coverage, which is Part B of Medicare. And a lot of times those ones get overlooked because they don't realize that they're eligible for the Part B of Medicare, even though they may not be eligible for the hospital portion. And that gets a little complicated.
And I want to come back to the A, B, C, Ds mm-hmm. of Medicare, but also, there's certain diseases. Someone who is on dialysis, and then I remember reading about amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Right. The Lou Gehrig's disease falls under the disability program. Okay. So they would be filing for disability benefits and would become eligible for Medicare. And then the ESRD is the end-stage renal disease. And those are applicants that file because they're on dialysis or they've had a kidney transplant, and they do become eligible for Medicare as well.
Now, if individuals already have health insurance, how does that interact with this program?
Yeah, that's a very good question. That's a complicated one. Most people, if the person that is eligible for Medicare, whether they're 65 or older, whether they're on disability for 2 years, whether they have a transplant, kidney transplant, if they are currently working and covered by an employer group health plan based on that current employment, or they have a spouse that's currently working and they are covered under their spouse's employer group health plan, then typically they do not file for Medicare. They can file for Medicare, and if they do, Medicare would be the secondary payer to the employer group health plan. It's called there's a special provision if they choose not to file. Most individuals choose not to file for Medicare as a secondary payer while they have current coverage under employer group health plan.
All right. So, Judith, it sounds to me, in my mind, being 61 and trying to understand this, what I want to know now is what is ABCD, and then when do I have to file or, you know, register or whatever the right word is, and then what happens if I don't?
Okay. Well, Part A is the portion of Medicare that covers hospitalization, inpatient hospitalization. It also can cover it will also cover skilled nursing facility care. It can cover home health care under certain circumstances. There's lots of rules and regs about each item, but it can cover some home health care, and it covers hospice care. So Part A is a really valuable part of Medicare. Part B, as in boy, and this is federal law, so it's not necessarily intuitive, but Part B covers outpatient care. So that would be coverage for visiting a physician, getting diagnostic work done, preventive work done, such as getting an annual PSA test, getting a breast exam, getting a mammogram, getting a colonoscopy on a regular basis. So tests, and then it also covers medical supplies, durable medical equipment, such as the CPAP machine, nebulizers, syringes, lancets.
Things you would use at home as part of the treatment for your illness.
Correct. Okay. And some of those are really expensive, and very worth paying for the Part B, paying the Part B premium, hospital beds, walkers, wheelchairs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Part D, as in drugs, covers prescription drugs, that especially ones that people take for a chronic condition that they know they're going to need month after month. Mm-hmm. Although it does also cover prescriptions that you may need for an acute illness, such as the flu. Mm-hmm. There's another part of Medicare called Medicare Supplements, also known as Medigap. And that is a policy that people buy from an insurance company if the only thing that they have is Medicare Part A and B, paying 80% of their medical costs. Then they may want to purchase a Medigap policy because that covers the remaining 20%.
Okay.
And what else did you ask?
What happened to C?
Part C, that's the part we try to avoid talking about because it causes a lot of confusion in Alaska. Part C is Medicare Advantage plans, which are wonderful policies everywhere in the United States except Alaska. Advantage plans really don't function in Alaska. There were a few, but they've all none of them have renewed, and none of them are functional in the year 2010. And those are plans that cover everything that Part A and B covers, and also other things such as vision care or dental or pharmaceutical coverage. So there's no advantage in Alaska to having an Advantage plan.
All right. And there's a distinct difference between Advantage plans and the Medigap plans, with Medigap basically helping pay for drug coverage.
Medigap covers – Medigap is the covers the gap, the 20% of what A and B doesn't
So the coverage for A and B is a 20% deductible kind of.
Well, let's not exactly.
Okay.
Let's talk for just a second about premiums and deductibles.
Okay.
Okay. All of the different moving parts of Medicare, just to make life interesting, have different premiums and different deductibles.
Okay.
So, but a deductible, as you may know, is the amount of money that you pay up front before your benefit actually kicks in.
Okay.
And Part A does have a deductible for each time that you're hospitalized. Well, not necessarily each time. If you're rehospitalized within 60 days for the same thing, then you don't have to pay a new deductible. But if you break your hip in January and you go in the hospital, you pay the deductible. And then if you have a knee replacement in March, you'll pay a new deductible. So there's a $1,068 deductible each time you go in the hospital. And then there is most of the expenses are then covered under Part A for the first 60 days that you're in the hospital, and then you pay more the longer you're in. Part B has a $135 a year annual deductible. And then you pay basically 20% of the costs after Medicare covers 80%, unless you have a secondary insurance from an employer or you have a Medicare supplement. And then pharmaceutical prescription Part D plans are much more complicated. They all have different monthly premiums and different copayments for the prescriptions as you pick them up.
Okay.
There's nothing really simple about Medicare.
Well, there's nothing simple about our healthcare system. I mean, it's not just and Medicare, incidentally, is the single largest cover of healthcare in the country. Something like 45 to 50 million people is what I was reading. And there's a I think this is a misconception. You straighten me out. When I saw a survey asking people, both in private and public sector, how happy they were with their health care, and Medicare came out way on top.
Well, the national statistic is that 87% of Medicare recipients are very satisfied with Medicare. And I think we talk to several hundred people every week in my office about Medicare and counsel them on their specific questions. And I think it's more like in Alaska, 90 to 95% satisfaction, unless they're frustrated because they cannot find a physician.
And what's all that about?
What is that about? Well, that's about Alaska being kind of a unique place. We don't have a medical school. We don't have enough physicians. We have very high costs to run a medical practice. We've got lots of young people working that are covered by good insurance or can pay out of pocket. So we have a perfect storm for not having enough physicians that will accept the relatively low reimbursement rate that they're getting.
So the reimbursement rate for physicians is such that and I'm a pediatrician, so I don't deal with this, and I'm kind of talking as if I know more than I do. I'm not sure that I do. I just hear other physicians talk about it, and I read in the paper, and the issue is they are not reimbursed enough to really keep enough. If they had all Medicare, they couldn't stay in business is one way of saying it. They just don't make enough on the reimbursements in Alaska to be able to afford to stay in business. So therefore, they have to limit the percentage of patients that they see, and there are not enough internists and family practitioners to meet the demand because of that.
That's correct. Specialists, on the other hand, are usually quite willing to take Medicare patients because their reimbursement rate is much better than primary care providers.
Mm-hmm. Which is generally also true in all health insurance programs.
Mm-hmm.
Let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Line 1, your health connection. If you have questions about Medicare in any way, shape, or form, or you think you have a question, or you think there's a myth about Medicare you want to ask about, why don't you give us a call? We'll be here until just before 3 o'clock today. Our number is 550-8422. Our toll-free number, 1-800-478-8255. And you can email us directly at line1, L-I-N-E-O-N-E, at aprn.org. Since we were on that question, I did get an email previously, and the question was from someone who said, my wife or my spouse and myself each have opted have primary care physicians who've opted out of Medicare, so they don't take Medicare. This individual pays the bills themselves, and while the doctors give these individuals a discount, they're still unable to submit itemized receipts to Medicare. Why can't these rules be adjusted in some way, either to reimburse physicians better or to make it so that the patients could submit their bills to Medicare for reimbursement?
Well, I'd like people to know that there are, in the world of Medicare, three types of providers. There are participating Medicare providers, and they have agreed to accept assignment. That means they've agreed to accept what Medicare pays, mm-hmm. and they will receive 80% of the approved Medicare rate. Mm-hmm. And then there are non-participating providers who will see Medicare patients, but they have agreed to be able to charge 15% more than the approved amount. So they have a slightly special dispensation. And then there's a growing number in Alaska, at least, of what are called opted out providers. And they have opted out. They have quit taking payment or having any interaction with Medicare, and Medicare will not reimburse them. And if an opted out provider sees a patient who has Medicare, they will require that patient to sign a contract stating that they understand that neither the provider nor they will be reimbursed by Medicare. And, you know, basically, no matter what insurance you have, the provider has the prerogative to accept it or not.
Right.
And the patient
right.
has the prerogative to go to them or
right.
not.
Right. And so Medicare really has no – if the physician is not taking Medicare, not accepting it, there's no contractual relationship between them and the patient in any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
They don't have to do – so it'd be difficult for that to be resolved in a way that this question seems to be asking it. Okay. All right. Another question has just been emailed in. This is an individual who says, I'm 64, or I'll be 64 in April and have Alaska State Retirement Medical Insurance. When Medicare becomes my primary insurance at 65, what happens to my state insurance? How is the deductible affected?
Well, like most questions that people ask me, it depends. First of all, I need to know if the person is going to continue to work when they're 65.
Okay.
So let's talk about that, because as we know, the people's nest eggs have been somewhat compromised, and many people are working past 65. So if you continue to work and you're 65, you're 67, you're 70, and you continue to have group health insurance through your active employment, there is no particular reason to sign up for Medicare because you continue to have health insurance. Although you might want to sign up for Part A because you won't probably have to pay for it if you've worked and paid into Social Security and it's good coverage, but you won't have to sign up for Part B. In that case, your primary insurance remains your work insurance, such as the Alaska Care. So that's one issue that people often misunderstand. But if this person has discontinued working and they haven't picked up another job and they don't have other benefits and they don't have a spouse who's actively working, and of course I don't know if they have veterans benefits or Indian Health Service benefits, but if they've retired and they're 64, they're enjoying their Alaska Care benefits as a primary. When they turn 65, if they read the benefit booklet from AlaskaCare, they will see they must sign up for Part A and B. And then Medicare becomes primary. Their AlaskaCare benefits become secondary. And AlaskaCare will pay 20% after Medicare pays 80%. So, and that includes prescriptions. So AlaskaCare, state of Alaska retirees are in very good shape. And we get lots of calls from them. There is a booklet that the state puts out, the State Division of Retirement and Benefits, called Medicare and the AlaskaCare Retiree Health Plan, which they can get on the web or they can get through my office by calling me.
Robin, the issue here is that Judith was commenting that if you keep working, and this gets a little confusing in my mind, is what is the definition of retirement? And I'm asking you because of Social Security, it's an issue there, I think. And if I'm wrong, then, you know, Judith, you can answer too. But how do we define what does working have to do with it and what is retirement?
Very good question. For Medicare purposes, it's a little bit different than retirement, and they intertwine and they get somewhat confusing. Someone will contact us, let's say at age 64 and 8 months. They're getting close to age 65, and they want to file for Medicare. So what we do is we ask them if they are still actively employed. We don't care if they're working, you know, how much they're working. If they're actively employed and their employer says that they are covered by their employer group health plan, as long as the employer considers them covered under their employer group health plan because they're actively employed, then they're considered actively employed and they would be covered under their employer group health plan. Some individuals get it confused with retirement. That same person would be contacting us, and they might be working part-time. They're still covered under their employer group health plan for that purpose, but yet they still might be making a small enough amount of money to be getting retirement benefits, where some individuals believe that to be eligible for retirement benefits, you have to be retired. When in fact, that's not the case. As long as you're earning less than $14,160, then they can start receiving Social Security benefits, but may not want Medicare because they're still actively employed.
Okay. Judith, any comments? Is it different from a Medicare standpoint?
Well, I know that many people think that because they can their official Social Security age of retirement is 66 or 67, that's when they need to contact Social Security or Medicare to start Medicare, and that's not correct. What I would advise everybody to do 3 months before they turn 65, whether they're working or not, is to call Social Security, make sure Social Security knows who they are and where they are and when they were born and where they live, and update Social Security's records as to whether they're working or not and what their plans are related to Medicare.
Okay. And that's important simply because to file for Medicare, you want to contact us 3 months before your 65th birthday so you don't have any kind of penalties and that we can properly inform you if you should file or not.
Okay. So everybody ought to do that. 3 months before 65, you better call.
Inquire.
There we
go.
All right.
And penalties is a really good topic, Robin.
Let's come back to that. I have a caller I want to take, and then we have to take a break. Ken, you're on line one. What can we do for you?
Well, hi. Thanks. I think actually some of the issues that I had to talk about have already been covered. I had two things that I wanted to talk about. One was the interface between State of Alaska retiree benefits and Medicare. I think that's been pretty nicely addressed, and I thank you for that. But the other question that's on my mind is the VA benefits, because I'm not only a State of Alaska retiree medical beneficiary, but I'm also retired veteran, entitled to veterans benefits. And I don't know whether that continues. I think I continue to receive that after age 65, but I don't know how that interfaces, if at all, if there's any connection with Medicare.
Good question. First of all, I'd ask if you enjoy receiving the services that you get from the VA and if you plan to continue that.
You know, I do. I don't use them exclusively, but I have found that there are things that the VA picks up on that my private physician misses and vice versa. So
okay.
It's really great to have both those services available.
Okay. Well, two things I'd point out to you is one is you would be well advised to get in writing from the Veterans Administration something that describes your status as a veteran that's entitled to services in the future so that you don't suddenly find out that you've lost access to that. And the other thing is that regardless of the VA benefits that you get, if you are using private practice physicians outside of the veteran system and you want AlaskaCare to pay anything, you had better sign up for Medicare Part A and B effective the your 65th birthday, effective the month you turn 65. Then you have the flexibility to use the VA when you want and go outside the VA system when you want and still be covered by AlaskaCare as a retiree.
So, as you were saying earlier, it's really critical to contact Medicare prior to that 65th birthday.
Correct. There are some veterans who use the VA exclusively and never plan to go out of that system. And for them, I don't necessarily advise that they sign up for Medicare because then they're kind of overinsured. But each individual's situation is unique.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Line 1, Your Health Connection. Remember, you can reach us in Anchorage at 550-8422, our toll-free number, 1-800-478-8255, or you can email us directly at line1@aprn.org. After this break, we'll continue to take your calls and emails and talk with Judith Bendersky and Robin Schmidt about Medicare on Line 1, Your Health Connection. I'm Dr. Thad Woodard.
Line 1, Your Health Connection, comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from the Lake Otis Pharmacy, prescriptions, support hose, medical equipment, and a full selection of satellites in Alaska. The Lake Otis Pharmacy on Lake Otis, one block north of Tudor, with the wheelchair on the sign. And by Providence Imaging Center, offering mammogram parties created in a private and personal setting designed for patient support with annual and baseline mammograms. Information at provimaging.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Line 1, Your Health Connection. I'm Dr. Thad Woodard. Today we're speaking with Judith Bendersky, head of the Alaska's Medicare Information Office, and Robin Schmidt. She's Public Affairs Specialist with the Social Security Administration, State of Alaska. We're talking about Medicare and trying to answer your questions and concerns. So you can email those to line1, L-I-N-E-O-N-E, at aprn.org. You can give us a call, 550-8422. Or you can also call us toll-free at 1-800-478-8255. Please remember that if you're listening in the evening after 8 o'clock, you're listening to a recorded broadcast, and we will not be available to answer those questions. What is not covered by Medicare that we need to know is not covered? What do people expect to be covered that, you're not covered?
Well, good question. Typically, routine vision, routine dental, and audiology is not covered by Medicare.
Okay. Anything else?
Lots of things that people would like to have covered, such as all of the chiropractic procedures they might want to get. Massage is usually not covered. Sometimes there are other procedures not covered. But in general, if a physician requires it medically necessary to do a certain procedure on a person or for them to take a prescription, it is covered.
What about long-term care?
Long-term care is not covered by Medicare. Since Medicare is medical insurance, any time a person calls, for instance, and says, my mom needs help in the house heating the food or getting off the toilet or cleansing or bathing, transportation, mobility, chores, those are considered custodial. And Medicaid may cover that, which is public assistance, but Medicare does not cover long-term care.
All right, let's talk about signing up. Who should be doing it? Does everybody need to? And then we'll get to the penalty word, which was interesting to me because I didn't know there were penalties. Why would there be penalties?
A lot of people ask that same question. But going back to what we originally talked about a little bit ago was that age 65 is the age that you need to inquire about Medicare. There's called the initial enrollment period, which are the first 3 months before your 65th birthday, the month of your 65th birthday, and 3 months after your 65th birthday. If you enroll in Medicare the first 3 months before your 65th birthday, then Medicare will be effective the month you turn 65. If you enroll the month you turn 65, it's not effective until the following month. And then the second month after age 65, then it's 2 months. So it's kind of a penalty,
a
little delay. There you go. Correct.
Yep.
Now, if during that 6 or 7 month window of, 3 months before 65, the month of, and 3 months after, if during that time period, if you are, again, covered by an employer group health plan because you're working or your spouse is working and you're covered by that employer group health plan, and you choose not to file for Medicare to be your secondary payer, then once that employer group health plan terminates, either you stop working or your spouse stops working, then you have what's called a special enrollment period. And that is 8 consecutive months from the time that employment terminates or that health insurance terminates. Sometimes you might retire 1 month, but they'll carry you over for another month. Mm-hmm. So you have 8 consecutive months in which to enroll in Medicare without there being a penalty. In addition, for those individuals...
So you don't have to sign up at 65 if you're continuing to work, not retired, and have employee-sponsored health insurance.
Correct.
You have
a special enrollment period. Right, we'll give you 8 months.
But you still probably ought to check with them, is my thought.
Absolutely. And let us know.
Be sure you qualify. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And the same applies for disability. Those individuals that are on disability benefits for 2 years, if they become eligible for Medicare, we will automatically enroll them in Medicare. And so we send them a letter. If their spouse is working, hopefully they will call us and let us know that my spouse is working. Even though you're enrolling me, I don't want the Medicare. We can say, okay, you don't have to take Medicare right now. Just let us know when your spouse stops working, and you will also be entitled to a special enrollment period.
Mm-hmm. And the P word?
Penalty?
Yeah. Why would there be a penalty? And what is the penalty?
The penalty is a 10% penalty for every 12 months that you chose not to have Medicare, even though you could have been eligible. So let's say when you were turning 65, let's say you retired at age 64, and when you retired, you kept your health insurance coverage from that employer. And now that you're reaching the age of 65, 99.9% of those employers, they want you to enroll in Medicare when you're eligible, when you turn 65. However, for some reason you don't enroll in Medicare, and you're healthy, you're not using your health insurance, you don't want to get involved with Medicare for whatever reason, and then a year later or 2 years later, you want to enroll in Medicare, then you're going to have to wait in another enrollment period called the general enrollment period, and that is January through March of each year. And if there have been more than 12 months in which you chose not to have Medicare from age 65, then you're going to have a 10% penalty for every 12 months that you chose not to have Medicare. So it can get very confusing. And we start that 12 months from the end of that third month after your 65th birthday. So again, we're talking about those 3 months after your 65th birthday. The next month, we start counting 12 months until you do get enrolled in Medicare. It can get very confusing, pretty frustrating, and it can really make your premium substantial. Some individuals will have a 50% penalty. It could be a 70% penalty, quite significant.
And Robin, what I tell people is not only is there that financial penalty, but an even bigger penalty and surprise is that if somebody goes into Social Security and signs up between January and March, their Medicare insurance does not become effective until July.
Correct.
And usually if they're in that situation where they've avoided Medicare and then they sign up for it, it's because they've had a really awful diagnosis and an expensive care is needed, and they have to wait then until July to get that medical care. And sometimes they can't wait.
That's correct, yes.
How is Medicare funded? How are the costs of Medicare taken care of?
That's through your taxes. When you're working and paying social, you know, you're going to be paying into a Medicare tax.
Right.
A lot of individuals do get confused because they're paying Social Security taxes,
right.
And in addition, they're paying Medicare tax.
Okay.
And the Social Security, the taxable amount at Social Security is a smaller amount, so they'll be paying into Social Security retirement. But the taxable amount for Social Security for Medicare is higher. So the limit might be $100,000 of your wages you're going to pay Medicare taxes. There are some individuals in the state of Alaska who may not be paying into Social Security. They might be paying into a state retirement or a civil service retirement. However, they are paying into Medicare. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're not aware that they're paying into Medicare.
And then each individual, you have to sign up for the Part A, as you said, but Part B and D are not automatic. You have to pay extra for that?
Yeah, and what I typically describe is a sort of a la carte system for health insurance because different people have different needs and maybe their retiree health is going to cover certain things. So some people need prescription coverage because they don't have state of Alaska or some other major retiree health insurance, but they take prescriptions. Or even if they don't take prescriptions, they should consider signing up for a Part D plan. And every year, there are 30 or 40 companies that offer a prescription drug plan in Alaska with varying rates of monthly premiums and copays. And it's pretty complicated. You have to go on to Medicare.gov or call my office, and we will do a comparison. We need to know what prescriptions a person takes and whether it's generic or brand to be able to advise a person which is the most cost-effective plan for them. And it very typically changes every year. So from November 15th to December 31st, we are doing lots of prescription drug plans and enrollment clinics helping people figure out what plan they should enroll in to be effective the following January. And if a person decides not to get into a Part D plan when they first join Medicare, they will likewise be penalized for waiting. They'll be penalized every month that they were not on a prescription drug plan that they could have been.
All right. Let me let our listeners know we have woken up the audience and we have lots of phone calls and emails, and we're not going to probably get to all of them. So let me give you a phone number. 1-800-479-6065. 1-800-479-6-4-6-0-8-5. I'm sorry. Really? Okay.
478-6065.
Yeah. What did I say? 478. I'm sorry. 1-800-478-6065. And then a local number, 269-3680. And those are numbers you can call and reach. Judith, if you have questions that we do not get to, so let's get going. Here is a call, it says, or an email. I have a relative who's living out of state, 67 years old. He has no medical insurance and is on Social Security retirement. Recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. To what extent is he covered under Medicare/Medicaid for therapies, treatments, medications? How does he get connected for the services?
I don't know the answer to that because I don't know what the individual's health insurance status is. I don't know if they're on Medicare. They should be if they have a traumatic diagnosis like that. Try to be on Medicare and try to get hooked up in their state. If that person would call me, I will give them the phone number for my counterpart in that state.
So it's 1-800-478-6065 or 269-3680. Okay, let's take a caller. Peter, you're on line one.
Oh, thank you. My wife and I are both retired state employees, and we're both on Medicare, plus we have the Alaska Care. And that worked fine until our primary care physician opted out of Medicare, so we're paying him cash on the barrel. But the problem arises that the state will no longer come across with the 20% because the billing is not going through Medicare. And I was told that this was a Medicare rule. And I called Senator Murkowski's office, or wrote to her, with no response. And I just wondered what it takes to change that.
Well, the rule that you're talking about is not really Medicare. It's Alaska Care. Alaska Care, through the Division of Retirement and Benefits, is requiring all of the claims to first be run through Medicare and paid, with Medicare being the primary, and then Alaska Care is happy to look at those claims and pay them as secondary. But you're not doing that, so you're getting no benefit out of your Alaska Care. So you could either find a physician that will take Medicare, which is not easy, although there are two clinics in town that do, and then those claims would go through Medicare and then as a secondary be covered through Alaska Care.
Okay, well, thank you, because Alaska Care told me it was a Medicare rule.
Well, it's in the benefit booklet for Alaska Care that they won't pay unless Medicare has paid first.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Here's another email. The listener said that you'd heard that Medicare doesn't routinely cover dental, vision, and audiograms. I pay extra in a teacher's retirement for these services. When I turn 65 and go on Medicare, will this continue or will it stop?
I believe it will continue, but you had better check with your teacher retirement plan. I believe that you will have the option to pay $62 a month to keep dental, vision, and audio. But only the provider of the benefits that you're getting knows for sure, and you should look for that documentation in writing.
Let's take another phone call. Dave, you're on line one.
Hey, Judith. It's good to hear you on the radio. You're doing really good. I have a question for you.
Hi, Dave.
Welcome back from Hawaii, too. This new medical bill that's going through Congress, how will that affect what you're telling us today? Will that change all the rules and we have to relearn them? And do you think it's a good thing?
Dave, why did you call and ask that? There are lots of different proposals in Washington. I will be staying up on them, and as soon as there's some health care reform passed, I will be on top of it. But I honestly don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm looking for some health insurance reform, but I will just keep you posted.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks for your call, Dave. Yeah, that's boy, if things weren't already complicated enough, they've gotten more complicated. We've tried on this program to discuss as much as we could about it, but it is very hard to understand what's real and what's not real. And I don't blame people for being frustrated. I'll use that word. Here's an email. Does Medicare work if you're living as a resident in a foreign country? Do you use the medical care insurance system if there is one in that country? Or do you submit medical bills to Medicare in the United States?
That's a good question. It's a little bit complicated. And it depends if you're living full time year round in, say, Thailand or India or Belize, you're going to be using that healthcare system. If
you're a resident or living there.
Well, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Medicare is not going to work real well and pay real well on claims if it sees bills that are in a foreign currency. The exception is if you're traveling, there's some foreign travel emergency coverage through Medicare, through some of the supplements. But in general, if you go to another country as a medical tourist or you're living there, that's what you're going to be accessing.
Good-o.
Do you agree, Robin?
I would agree.
Okay. Heather, you're on line one. Heather, are you with me? I don't see Heather there. Let's go ahead and take Gene on 4. Gene, you have a question for us? Hello, Gene?
Yes?
What can we do for you?
I was told by a friend that, for instance, I am on interim Social Security, SSI, and Alaska Disability, and I've had pre-existing conditions. I'm in my almost 60 since I was in high school and haven't afforded insurance. And I was told that when I turn 65, I will have to switch to Medicare from Medicaid. Is that correct?
That is correct. Medicaid is going to want you and require you to file for Medicare when you're 65, simply because they want Medicare to be the primary payer.
So at that point, will I not have, like you said, dental or eye care or med coverage?
You will not have that under Medicare, but you could possibly have it under Medicaid. Some individuals are still eligible for Medicaid, even though they are on Medicare. So you can have coverage under Medicare and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have to panic that I won't be covered then.
I don't believe so.
You don't have to panic. And after 24 months of that Social Security disability assistance, you will get some literature in the mail telling you that you are automatically rolling over to Medicare. And be sure to keep that correspondence, circle any 800 numbers, and call so that we can assist you with that transition.
So they will contact me. I don't need to contact them when I turn 65.
That's correct. As long as you have a current mailing address on record, as long as your Social Security disability has a current address, that's where we will send your correspondence telling you about your entitlement to Medicare.
But, Jean, you said you're 60 now, right?
Almost.
So that's not going to happen when you're 65. That's going to happen within the next 2 years because you're on SSDI.
So it happens before 65.
For you, because you've been on SSDI, you will be, after 2 years of that, I believe, right. I'm looking at Robin.
Well, are you getting Social Security disability and supplemental security income? Or just supplemental security income, which is SSI?
SSI and state public assistance.
Okay. So you haven't, so you're on SSI. So what's going to happen is you're not going to be eligible for Medicare until you're 65.
Right.
Right. So at that point, you would still hopefully be eligible for the Medicaid, depending on, just because you're not eligible for disability under Social Security, because obviously you haven't worked and paid enough into Social Security to be eligible for disability. However, at retirement age, at age 62, actually SSI will make you file for your Social Security retirement benefits at age 62, and then you'll be required to file for Medicare at age 65, which will be an automatic enrollment for you under Medicare.
Which is a downgrade for services, is it not?
It is. Well, it's not a downgrade. It's just a different kind of coverage. However, depending on how much your Social Security early retirement benefit will be at age 62, that will determine your retirement benefit plus any other income you might have. That will determine whether you will still be eligible for Medicaid. So at that point, you could still have retirement benefits under Social Security. You could have SSI still. And then you could have Medicare and Medicaid.
So sounds confusing, but they'll help me with that.
It is, yes. And when you file for your retirement benefits at age 62, they will let you know whether you will still be eligible for SSI, and then they'll let you know how the Medicare interplays with that at age 65.
Can you answer questions about Medicare, or is that a different program?
It depends what kind of questions.
Medicaid. Yeah,
oh,
Medicaid.
No, Medicaid is through the state public assistance office.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on that now, and I have a few questions. But
right.
Why don't you call the number? Call me. This is Judith at 269-3680, and I'll help you get the answers to your Medicaid questions.
Do you have an 800 number?
Yeah, it's 478-6065.
478-6065, 1-800.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, here's another email. My question's about prescription drugs, the writer says. If I don't take the coverage now at age 65, what exactly will be the penalties if I want it at a later date?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just looking in my Medicare and New Handbook for penalties. There's a formula, and that is for every month that you were eligible to be on a prescription drug plan but were not, you will pay 32 cents. Let's see. Well, you'll pay about a dollar a month for every. You'll pay about a dollar extra towards your premium for every month that you were not enrolled. And I don't know that you're asking why there's a penalty, but Medicare and the prescription drug companies and the insurance industry wants you to be paying into a prescription drug plan as soon as you're eligible, rather than wait until you're older and sicker and basically more expensive to take care of. And so they penalize you, and that is supposed to be an incentive for you to get in a prescription drug plan, even if you don't take any medications.
All right, Martha, you're on line one.
Are those penalties permanent?
Yes.
Okay, because for some people they may wonder about that. And when I listened to Jean, I was thinking, I'm a baby boomer myself, and I have a mom in her 70s, and I think I got some of my questions answered just by listening. But in listening to Jean, it sounds as if from what I learned from the show, that she may be eligible for Medicare Part B, and she may be able to get a supplemental coverage to cover the dental and the vision and the audio. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. She'll be eligible for Medicare, and if she's on Medicaid as well as Medicare, she won't want to purchase a Medicare supplement because Medicaid, that is the state, will be supplementing her federal health benefits.
Okay. From what I understand, if you're a civil service federal employee and you retire under their, in a regular fashion, then you don't get Social Security because you paid into the civil service plan?
No, that's not necessarily true. It depends on your lifetime work history. If you've only been covered under civil service and therefore did not pay Social Security taxes and you do not have your required quarters of coverage, then you're not automatically enrolled eligible for the hospital portion of Medicare. Everybody is eligible for Part B of Medicare at age 65, whether you're not eligible for Social Security retirement benefits or not. Just because you're not insured for retirement benefits doesn't mean you're not eligible for Medicare. Almost anyone can file for Medicare at age 65. You have to be age 65, or if you're a resident, and if you're not a U.S. citizen but you're a resident of the United States for 5 years, then you can be eligible for Medicare at age 65. So it's always it's important to contact us whether you believe you may or may not be eligible because we might surprise you.
Okay. And so if you only have a work history with the federal government and you have civil service, then you're going to get that for your retirement.
They will make you file for Social Security Part B for your Part B of Medicare at age 65.
Okay, because I know she has that. And then back to Jean and her questions and the confusion that she might have still had. Is there a state program that would cover her? I understand she mentioned pre-existing conditions and probably a low income to be eligible for Social Security and state assistance. I've been hearing announcements or ads about public service announcements about a state program I wonder if she's eligible for that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about ACHEA, the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance. That is in particular important for people who are on Medicare due to disability. They are younger than 65 and have no no guaranteed right to purchase a Medicare supplement. They are basically excluded from Medicare supplements. Those are the folks that Achia is really wonderful for, but it is not cheap.
And does that cover you? Oh, so there's a probably maybe an expensive, or it might be more expensive than her budget. But would that cover you through beyond 65, or does that wait till Medicare kicks in?
No, Achia is good for people until they turn 65 if they're then going to be on Medicare and can buy a Medicare supplement.
Okay. So it's going to be, the Achia may not work for her because of the cost.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, thank you for the program.
Okay, I have one more thought for you. For federal employees, you should go to opm.gov and print off the very important document written for you called Medicare and the Federal Employee.
All right. We've got less than 2 minutes left, and I want to ask this question about funding. What's your understanding of how we're going to do as the baby boomers get older? Is funding going to be able to be adequate for Medicare?
I've read projections that Medicare is going to be straining at the bit by 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know. We need to vote well.
All right. We've got a minute to go. Final comments, common myths, mistakes. What do we need to remind people to be sure? We got the phone number. If they've got any questions, for sure, 1-800-478-6065 or locally 269-3680. Are there other myths or concerns or mistakes that people are making that we need to mention real quickly?
I would encourage everybody with questions to write down their questions and look at the benefit of summary booklet from their employer or their retiree plan before panicking, and to remember to call us with questions.
And everybody has to enroll or should be talking with Medicare at least 3 months, around 3 months before 65. That was
correct.
An important one that I wrote down.
And right now, too, January before March 31st, if you're not enrolled in Medicare and you're on Social Security or disability and you think you need to be on Medicare, this is the general enrollment period, so it's a really important time to contact us about Medicare as well.
What's the phone number that you would recommend people call for Social Security?
It would be our 1-800-772-1213.
Okay. Thank you, Judith Bendersky and Robin Schmidt, for a wonderful hour. It's been fast. Didn't get all of our questions answered, so we apologize. Line one will return next week with Dr. David Dodick. As I said, he is a neurologist with the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, and he has written extensively on headaches, particularly migraine, and one called Chronic Daily Headaches. So if you're interested in some information on migraines, join us next week. Pat Yak is Vice President of APTI News and Public Media. Kristen Spack graciously engineered today's program. I'm Dr. Thad Woodard. Have a great day.
This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400. Stroke is an emergency. Providence, Alaska Medical Center is committed to increasing awareness of the symptoms of stroke. If you or anyone you know has sudden weakness on one side of your body, sudden confusion, trouble speaking or understanding, sudden trouble seeing, walking, or loss of balance, or sudden severe headaches without cause, call 911 and get to the hospital within 1 hour. Information at providence.org/Alaska. This message is sponsored by Providence, Alaska Medical Center.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.